Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to the elders past and present, and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today.
Welcome to The Gays Are Revolting, your definitive weekly news source for contemporary gays.
We put the G in LGBTQIA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be.
You can show your support by posting a story on your Instagram linking back to us at @GaysRevoltingPod, or join our Facebook group by searching The Gays Are Revolting.
Head over to Apple Podcasts to leave your rating and review, and book tickets to our very first live show happening in a matter of weeks in Melbourne.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
And we have your regular hosts, dear sweet Mikey, who loves to practice his strokes in Josh's family pool.
Oh, yes.
We have Luke, who's kind of like Rapunzel when you think about it, but instead of letting down his hair, he lets down everyone in his life.
That's very apt. I've been told that a few times.
And we have Thomas. Tom's actually just started seeing a Russian guy, which is funny because Tom's Russian, head first into a relationship with someone who can't speak English.
Hey, it
and
works.
It's me, Kylan Dina. Hi, guys.
Hey, darling.
And for the live show, we're calling for your best reads for us. Ooh. If you think you've got a solid read for either Kyle, Luke, Tom, or myself, please email it through to gaysrevolting@lipmedia.com or DM us on Instagram.
That's right. And, you know, the best reads will get chosen for the live podcast. And we'll be giving out a prize for the best reads as well. Ooh. Yeah, you get a blowjob from anyone you like. From the podcast, spicy. Especially me. Also, for anyone that is attending the live show, we're going to have a Q&A session at the end. So if you want to start thinking of your questions now, get on it.
Yeah.
How are we all, guys? You good?
I was so confused because I thought there actually was a prize and I missed
the
meeting.
Yeah,
babe, this is a free fucking podcast. Your prize is that we do it every week.
Yeah, you're fucking welcome.
Have you had a good week?
Yeah.
Any exciting stories?
Oh, you're also dumb.
I ordered Uber Eats last night.
Oh, no. Slow down, crazy.
I had a pretty mellow week. I took my mum to, every now and then I take her to gold class. Mm. She's so sweet. Lovely suburban mother. Oh. And she feels like special when her eldest gay son takes her to the gold class cinemas to see a movie. We went to see Mary Poppins Returns.
Oh my God.
Have you seen it yet?
It's so good.
Oh my God. Really? Mikey, can you and I start our own podcast just about Mary Poppins Returns? It is so good. You two haven't seen it?
I don't think I've seen the first one.
Oh, what?
My God.
Okay, just add it to the fucking list.
Add it to the list.
It's not a gay movie, though, is it?
It's pretty
camp. I mean, it's like...
pretty
it's
camp.
Very camp. Yeah. Like, yeah.
But the most exciting thing is not just the movie. Since then, I was on IMDb looking up interesting facts about movies.
I love doing
that. I don't know if you saw, I posted
like
on my show.
Or like the trivia question or like funny facts.
Yeah, the trivia stuff. Yeah. I posted it on Facebook and it had a list of all the women that were considered for the role of Mary Poppins. Oh, yeah. Few highlights. Nicole Kidman. Terry Hatcher.
Terry fucking Hatcher. What
Helen Hunt. Imagine Helen Hunt. Oh, you're looking at me confused.
I know. Okay. No, I know who she is. I do. I can't name a movie she's in, but I know who she is.
Twister.
No. Isn't she in like some spy movie, like an assassin-y type?
Mad About You.
Yeah. Julia That's Roberts. Right. Hilary Swank. Renee Zellweger. Imagine. I want this film remade a million times with all
like
of these actors.
Nicole Kidman would have just done like a Stepford Wives.
Yeah. Absolutely. Also, like she wouldn't be able to do that thing where like Mary winks and stuff.
Oh,
you know? Yeah. She can't move her face. Ooh. So we're going to start with some breaking news. Ooh. Now, this is one of those things that I want to remind our listeners. We record on a Wednesday night. This will go to air on Sunday. So now we did this with the leadership spill. Ooh, this is probably even bigger news in the gay scene.
Totally.
This is, for those of you who have been following on social media, Poof Doof.
Never
definitely
heard of
Melbourne. You're there every fucking weekend.
Why don't we?
Melbourne's, I would say, premier or largest gay club. Probably the biggest in Australia now. They host events in all Australian capitals throughout the year. Image has been posted of a job description for a photographer. So they have photos taken there for anyone that's unfamiliar that they do what's called the Power Poofs photo album every week.
Yeah.
So they take photos of certain people, they cut the background out, put the logo behind it, and it's sort of considered a bit of a feather in your bow if you get into the Power Poofs.
It's your grinder profile.
People put it
a lot of grinder profile pictures.
Yeah. So it says, brief for photographers. Photos are to be taken of. Boys, Poof Doof is a gay club for homos. No one is here to see girls, ever. Boys with muscles, big ones. The kind of muscles that come about from spending at least 5 sessions a week at the gym. Hot boys, if you want to lick their faces because they look so delicious, take a photo. Drag queens, but only the best. And never more than 3 to 4. And once they've had their photo taken once, that's it. Forever. Photos are not to be taken of. Skinny boys in burgundy t-shirts and chinos. They are a dime a dozen. There is nothing interesting nor cool about them.
I feel very attacked by that.
Your tone seems very pointed.
Boys with bad skin. Messy boys. Anyone who looks like they've poked down a 10-pack is out. Indie boys. They are not Powerpuff worthy unless they are breathtakingly good looking or epically stylish. Any boys that have previously had Powerpuff photos taken. Repetition is unimaginative and boring. So that got posted today.
It's spicy.
It's gone pretty viral in the LGBTI community. What are your thoughts?
What the fuck?
Yeah,
that was
what
my
the
initial
fuck indeed.
Thought.
Yeah.
I was just like, what do you mean?
Yes.
I had more the reaction of, oh, you're that girl I knew you were. It was Edward's kind of...
Behind
the mirror. You know, the story's still developing, but it is a sense of othering that members of the LGBTI community have felt for a while. And then every now and again, documents like this slip out or old tweets resurface.
It's like a Kevin Hart thing all over again.
And you get that feeling of like being behind the mirror, being like, that's why I felt the way that I did about Poof Doof. Even though I thought it was something about me or like
where the smoke is fire.
I wouldn't be completely transparent talking about this topic and just say that I have been hired by Poof Doof as a performer several times before and also have upcoming gigs with them. You know, I'm not denying that. I also want to be completely honest and say I'm absolutely disgusted by that job description. The story that's gone with it is that it's been released by their photographer who was fired to sort of discredit Poof Doof, I guess, as a community.
Read that apparently it was a long time ago, like that brief was from like 7 years ago or something like that, so they've changed their views.
Well,
I think they posted something, didn't they?
Like they did so they have posted. So initially it was posted by some individuals, so I guess this photographer shared it around to certain people in the community,
obviously,
and then,
trying to do damage with it.
I
would also say that this photographer worked for them for a very long period of time, and if they only have an issue with it after they've been
after
fired
the fact,
from their job, well then they were completely complacent with these rules. I think the photographer that was fired had the intention of making it look like Poof Doof's a bad place. And it's like, well, hang on, you didn't have a problem with that until you got fired from the job.
Exactly right.
So you're part of the problem in that case. So it was shared by individuals, and then it was shared by the DIY Rainbow page, which is the page that got the Rainbow Crossing up in Sydney reinstated. Oh, and they've been a part of a lot of stuff that's been revealed in controversies in the LGBTI community. So Pufftuff responded to that initially, and their response from them was, hi everyone, this was an internal document that was written and has not been used or referred to at all for more than 7 years. It was released by a photographer after his contract was terminated last weekend as a way of retaliating against his termination. The brief is outdated and again has not been used, referred to or circulated for many years. We apologise unreservedly for any hurt caused by our words and the actions of a disgruntled ex-employee. We're very sorry, Pufftuff. What do you think?
Do you think it could have been edited though? Like as well? Like, do you think he could have like beefed it up and made it sound worse than it was?
Doesn't. That's a photo.
I mean, they didn't deny anything.
They're not denying anything. It's a photo of a doctor.
Yeah. I mean, I did notice, like, obviously because I work with a lot of photographers and some of my friends commented that the brief didn't really describe any of the like technical aspects of photography at all that they required. It was more like a marketing, like what they wanted to be perceived as, but not.
Yeah.
It didn't give any like shot, like shortlist, like would say like guests like mingling, like wide shots of the venue, detailed shots of the drink.
It's literally
they didn't like specify any of that. It was just very clearly just for the marketing to want outsiders to get a certain perception of the venue.
Absolutely,
I don't want to Nancy Drew it, but
the
top left-hand corner.
It looks like it's been ripped off. Something else.
So I think it's a stapled document, like a page from a stapled document.
From a contract, I think.
Contract. Yeah. It's so funny that we talked about Kevin Hart a week ago. And we're saying, well, if you're an adult, 10 years ago really isn't that long of a time ago to be ignorant or hateful. And so we're in some very like thin ice now where we're saying 7 years ago, well, that's ages ago for it's the LGBT community. I appreciate they apologized.
Definitely.
I mean, they got on it pretty quickly.
I'll be honest, that initial apology, I don't think is a great apology.
But then you said they had a second apology.
They do. They have a second apology. Yeah, but this first apology, I mean, I kind of feel like they're sort of accusing the disgruntled ex-employee of causing the harm. And it sort of goes back to that Kevin Hart thing of like, you can make mistakes. Yeah. You can change your opinion or your stance on something. But you got to keep apologizing about it. And you've got to continuously be apologetic. And I don't feel like that initial apology was...
You can't say sorry and throw someone under the bus at the same time.
Exactly. We'll come back.
So that was just a comment that they posted as a response to the DIY Rainbow's post.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I also feel like take the fucking photo of these people. Like, I think all clubs have a certain look that they want to perpetuate. I don't think Pufftuff is the only club, especially in the LGBTI community, that would have these ideas.
Yeah, I mean, we've spoken about like club door policy and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Like yeah. But let people have their photo taken and then just decide which. Don't be like, don't take photos
don't
of women.
People to their,
Drag queens get one photo, you know. I think that's a bit harsh.
It's just like Wet on Wellington using images of a clean pool.
Pool is very clean. I will have
you
know.
I mean, you would know.
They
use
buckets of bleach in that.
I'm just going off the Facebook.
I'm naturally a brunette, but I just come out blonde.
Because you're there all the time.
Every weekend I go for a swim and top up my roots.
Oh,
So then they've just posted a thing from their official page.
Okay.
To our beloved doofers, family and friends, we would like to apologise unreservedly for the distribution of an extremely old internal photo brief that was written 7+ years ago. We have not used, referred to, circulated or actioned this brief since it was written. We are mortified that this old document, which is not reflective of our brand or attitude, has been dredged up and dragged into the public forum with the explicit intent to hurt as many people as possible. We are extremely sorry for the words written 7+ years ago that did not in any way reflect our love and respect for our entire community. A lot has changed over the years. We have certainly changed too. We are so sorry to every single person that has been offended in any way, shape or form. If anyone would like to discuss this with us, please message us via Facebook. I like that.
That's a much better apology. I do like that. Really good. That's very,
I wish they had have just released that instead of their sort of like quick little apology first, like just sort of let it sit for a second. Instead of jumping on it straight away. I think they were, but I think they timed it wrong.
Yeah.
It's not a huge team of people. They probably don't have a 24-hour social media person. It's probably someone responding to their initial post, and then they've gone, hang on, wait, we need to consolidate and think about what we need to post. And I do accept that as an honest apology myself. What do you think, Luke?
You know, these apologies are just, we're getting apologies, so they're good. It is so strange to me that the time just keeps getting brought up, how old these documents are. You can't have pride when you come into an apology. You can't come in and be like, I am so sorry to you, But I am also going to remind you that that was seven plus years ago. When you apologize, you got to come in with no ego and no pride. But I don't care if it was 50 years ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. An internal document of yours got leaked. It's indicative of your brand and your ideology at some point. Yeah. It hurt people. It made people feel othered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just need to take responsibility for that. If this document is legit. I don't know the
They've totally said the document's legit. People have questioned the time frame. Mm-hmm. But I would say that on that document, it has people that it says that you report to. I know that half the people on that list haven't worked for Pooftal for a very long time. So I'm more than willing to believe that that is from a long time ago. Yep. And going back to the Kevin Hart conversation, we all said that we've had opinions in the past that we no longer have, that we have changed ourselves. The gay community has evolved a lot in the last 7 years, absolutely. I think. We used to have nights called Tranny Bingo in Melbourne 7 years ago.
Yeah.
There's no way you would run a night called Tranny Bingo anymore in Melbourne. You have to accept when people evolve, because what's the point in trying to change people if you're not going to then forgive them when they do change? I mean, look, when I first saw that brief, I was angry, but I was also confused, because I've been in the Pooftoof photo albums.
Me too.
And I'm a 32-year-old chubby, balding gay that often is in a burgundy shirt and chinos.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And I've got lots of friends that definitely do not fit into that.
I was going to say, I definitely believe that that's not an effect.
I don't believe
because I know lots of people who don't fit that exact criteria.
We also talked about Dawn
photos.
Yeah, Dawn Lee.
Dawn Lee.
Dawn Lee, love that bitch.
Has been hired. And she did a post about this today. You know, she's been hired as a doofette. So Pooftoof have these people called doofettes. Up until recently, most of them were drag queens. And they were sort of hosts of the night. Not on stage, but around talking to people, having photos taken, that sort of thing. So Dawn Lee is a trans person of colour who's been hired as a doofette and is regularly in their albums. And she is a woman.
Yeah,
I definitely don't feel like this, this
it's
policy
not something
is
I've
effect.
Been following for a while. I think that for sure.
I think it's fair to believe that.
Yeah.
I think the art of apologizing is a tricky thing to master. It's like fingering yourself and jacking off at the same time. It's it's hard to do in a way that satisfies people that have been hurt.
You're never going
to
satisfy and everybody.
The thing that I take away from this is the impact that being othered from ideologies like this leave with people long term is a very hard thing to make up from.
Absolutely.
I don't go to Pooftoof. Like, I will to see a drag show if it's a big one. But I made up my mind really early on that even now that I know these facts that we're talking about now, that it's a different mindset and it's evolved and it's grown.
Mm.
But I've never been able to shake the way that it made me feel when it was run in this nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing that's really upsetting to me about this, and I hate to call it the big white gay male elephant in the room, but it touches into this element of gay male privilege that we really don't like to talk about, and to the point that we don't really like to admit it exists. There's this great quote in Pose in one of the early episodes where one of the characters was saying it doesn't matter who it is, but people always need to find someone to shit down with.
Absolutely.
And when it comes to our community, it's the trans and the people of color at the bottom. It's in our nature to need to punch downwards. And it's something a lot of us who don't fit the mold, either in our body image, our skin color, our gender identity, have felt and have questioned and have been met with absolute denial of like, no, that is not a thing. And so when you see these documents, even if they are 7+ years old, you go, but I felt that way for so many years because
absolutely.
Of this.
Yeah.
And people told me I was wrong about this for so long. Mm. So I'm glad that you're sorry, and I'm glad that you've evolved, and I'm glad that people are getting good gigs out of it and that people are feeling accepted now. But
you're allowed to still be affected by policies they've had or environments they've had. One thing I would say, just not to muddy the water in specifically talking about Pooftoof, I don't want to speak on your behalf, but as far as people of colour go, the majority of the doofettes are not white. And I would say the majority of clientele at Pooftoof are not white. I don't want to muddy the water on what this specific topic is. I definitely think that that applies to other venues and other parts of the LGBTI world and the entire world.
Yeah, I was taking it broader.
Yeah, yeah.
Pooftoof in particular is a business. And it's a local business to all of us.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not coming for them. And I ain't coming to them either. But on a broader scale, as soon as I saw that thing, I was like, this is a time to talk about privilege.
I definitely felt the exact same way you did, because it sort of confirms exactly what we've felt in the past, being a person of color, going into these spaces, just not feeling 100% comfortable. Obviously, it has evolved massively since then. Because I had been a few times when I first sort of moved to the city.
Same.
And that was sort of the initial feeling that I got. And that's why I just haven't gone back since. Same. I think having this come out and then having the apology and knowing that there are more people of color in there and that Dawn Lee is there as a Dofet now, because I haven't been for so long, I think I would be more inclined to go these days than I ever would before. But still, I'm still a bit apprehensive about it.
And as we said, this is something that's unfolding. Like, we
that's it.
We want to see how this changes.
I want to see more.
I want to know that if this is brought up again in a year, that they will apologize again, because they are genuinely sorry. Stay sorry, exactly. Yeah. And I went through some of the Powerpuff albums from the last few months before this podcast, because I was like, oh, I haven't really looked at it for a little bit. I mean, I personally feel like it is a lot more diverse than that. And I'm not just talking as far as race goes, but body shape, age.
Yeah.
And there is some women in there. It's obviously mostly men. I will, to be in all fairness, say, like, we're a podcast of four gay men that prides itself on being a podcast for four gay men. Do we have any women on our marketing? But having said that,
marketing.
Do you know what I mean? There is an argument to say that. But I still think that you should take the photo, even just hold the camera up and say click, click. You don't have to put it in the album. But Kyle, I mean,
I was going to say Puff Doof is my local club. Yeah.
You're there more often than I am.
Yeah, it's like just down the road for me, and I do go there a lot with my friends.
Would this change your...
I believe that it could have been like that in the past. I'm quite new to Melbourne, like past 2 years I moved to Melbourne from Brisbane. I'm just going off my experiences of the club being there. I'm happy that they admitted to something shitty from the past and that they are sorry. I guess we'll continue to see if they continue to be sorry and like just really like own it.
I cannot wait to see what their next photo upload.
Oh my god.
Oh my goodness.
If you're really ugly, go to Poof Doof this Saturday, because you are going
going to shine.
I look forward to me and Luke being
finally.
Just have a photo. They're changing their profile pictures.
Just wear burgundy shirts and chinos.
Yeah.
And that's
Everyone everyone at Poof Doof this Saturday, please. Burgundy burgundy shirts and chinos.
This is your moment.
I read it and I felt so seen. I felt so seen. By this, I was like, indie boys, there's nothing else.
We got you.
Unless they're really attractive. So, no, not you.
These bitches. Yeah. I really think it's that.
I'm surprised they didn't specify North Side.
I'm surprised they didn't say
North Side.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't say Luke Forrester.
Specifically.
Photos of this man.
Yeah.
For me, unfortunately, I have that once burnt, twice shy kind of thing. And I think it pushes people like Mikey and myself to find our own spaces that we've just naturally felt comfortable. You push up against something for so long.
And story for life.
Us, my exes.
Do we feel that this is fairly indicative of all queer clubs or all queer Melbourne clubs? Is it just that we've seen the receipts from Poof Doof?
Honestly, I had this feeling when I was at Poof Doof. And then I've had this feeling when I have been at other gay venues.
It's just that we've seen a document.
Well, we've got receipts for this one.
Yeah. We got receipts for this one. And I've been told so many times I'm wrong. You know, you're wrong about this place. No, it is actually very inclusive. You're wrong about this place. It's you.
Had we have seen this circulate from the Greyhound before it closed, I would not have been surprised. Probably not written down. I would be surprised if it's not across the board for a lot of the larger gay clubs. Fluffy up in Brisbane, Arc in Sydney. Like, I'm sure they've all given some sort of instruction, maybe not to the photographer, but to the person that's deciding what photos go up. And maybe there's more of a problem at the core of how we run our venues than this individual venue.
My friend, who I'm really close with, often posts on social media, and she would say,
"JB, oh, not JB.
No, it's not JB. The same.
You have another friend.
What?
I have two.
Shut up."
And she often posts, and she's online, and she'll post on events and say, "Will anyone come with me to this event?" Because you gauge whether you will feel comfortable in an event by looking at their photo albums of the previous events. And she said, "I think there's a real problem here, because I've looked at the last four parties that this particular thing has thrown, and I've seen no fat people. I've seen no people of color." She goes, "I don't know if I can go to this by myself." And that's indicative of a lot of venues are going out there with a specific brand in mind when they're uploading their social snaps.
Yeah.
Just get more inclusive.
Drag Race Thailand.
Ooh,
so last week they started their second season.
They're up to number two already.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've only watched a couple of episodes of the first season just because like I couldn't find the links to them.
Is it good? Do you rate it?
I liked it. Yeah, for sure.
Is it?
It has ties to RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
The way that they do their auditions is they get on 40 contestants, similar to like what they do with America's Next Top Model, and they sort of audition them.
Yes.
And then out of the 40, they sort of cut it down to 14. They have included a bio queen this year, which is quite interesting.
The very for those who don't know, what's a bio queen?
For those who don't
know. Tune into Word of the Gay. I listened to that episode. I listened to all the episodes.
Well, for those who don't know what a bio queen is a cisgendered female woman who partakes in the art of female impersonation.
It's a roller coaster to get your mind around.
So the very first bio queen is in the auditions. I don't think they made it on to the final 14. But yeah, it was quite interesting. In their audition, they were saying that they are there to represent the bio queen community and sort of make it more accepted because there is such controversy with women doing drag. I know a few of the local bio queens here in Melbourne.
Yeah, because there's quite a few now.
There are quite a few now, which is quite good. The first one I was introduced to was Rosie Faux. Love Rosie Faux. Does like massive clown, crazy makeup.
Cool.
Initially, I was very apprehensive about bio queens.
Yeah.
And I sort of had to question myself as to why I was sort of like, I'm not into this. And I think it comes back to the whole straight women doing bachelorette parties, coming into gay spaces.
Taking over gay spaces.
Taking over gay spaces and not sort of respecting the gay space that they're in. And also, I don't want it to be that whole like, oh, we're jumping on the bandwagon of RuPaul and that's all we've watched and this is why we love drag. And they don't sort of know their history about it. But the bio queens that I do know in the community, I love them so much.
Mm-hmm.
They do an amazing job. And they are all queer women as well.
They identify
as queer.
Yeah. Okay.
It's such a touchy topic. Yeah. I remember it was after a night we'd all been at Baby Drag.
Baby Drag, yeah.
And we'd seen a couple bio queens perform that night and I felt uncertain about it. And I had a brunch the next day with some fierce feminists.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to get red for filth for this. Because I was the only cisgender male sitting at the table.
That was brave.
I said something about it I didn't like last night. And I don't know why. And I want to know better because I'm obviously missing a gap here. And no one really knew
what it is.
Because I honestly think it's a culture that is maybe in its infancy, so to speak.
Yeah.
Drag is not in its infancy. If they want to be included in the drag community, they've got to acknowledge that they're joining a community that's not in its infancy, but just coming into the mainstream.
Well, this is my argument, is that a lot of subcultures within drag have created their own culture, but different styles and houses of drag have very different cultures and messages.
Sure.
I think some of the uncomfortableness that I've felt about it is it felt too close to the culture that I knew. But from speaking to bio queens, and one of my friends from work, her daughter does it and performed that night.
Yeah.
I didn't know until later one of the queens we were reading was a friend of mine's daughter.
Yeah.
It was very awkward. Mm-hmm. And she lives for it and she's learning more about why she does it. Mm. Even this contestant who auditioned for Drag Race Thailand said she'd been doing it for less.
12 months she's been doing it for. Yeah.
It's 12 months.
It's like Valentina.
Yeah.
And that she had the decision, I was going to be a drag king.
Yeah.
But it
didn't feel right.
And so I figured out this other thing did feel right. So maybe it's simply just in the process of we're figuring out where it sits within our community. Yeah.
And I mean, I think drag is not confined to gay men. No. Drag is an art form that absolutely anybody can do. Mm. One of Australia's most famous examples of drag is Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, which was based on the true story of Sydney Pastel, a Sydney drag queen who was married to a woman with a kid. Mm-hmm. It's not a specifically gay men's thing. One of my favorite drag performers is Sexy Galexy, who is a drag performer, identifies as a drag king, but does a lot of drag queen stuff as well. I would say one of the best makeup artists in the drag world in Australia, with Art Simone.
Cool.
The two of them are, I would say, equally talented talented drag performers. She is a lesbian woman, mm-hmm. that cisgendered lesbian woman that performs in drag as well. And, yeah. and they are at the top of mm-hmm. the drag world, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. When we start talking about heterosexual cisgendered females mm-hmm. doing drag, yeah. mm-hmm. I do feel like there's a few people in the gay community whose yeah. sphincters sort of tighten up. And we just sort of go, hang on a second, there's something weird about this.
Yeah.
I love them. I think they're mm-hmm. fantastic. But I have had, being involved in the drag world, a few experiences with cisgendered heterosexual female drag queens mm-hmm. that I've been a little bit disappointed in that they've sort of expected a little bit to be treated differently. You know, the drag world is fucking cutthroat. Oh, there is not yeah. a lot of gigs. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of people that want those gigs, and you've yeah. got to work
especially
really
now.
Hard to get
you've
it.
You've got
to
be out every
and you
night,
can't just start like, straight away and no. get it. Like, it's not an easy thing to step into, no. and you got to work your way That's up it. The ladder. And I'm sorry, but you're going into a world of people, mm. the majority of people, and I'm not saying that all cisgendered women mm-hmm. have it easy, but cisgendered heterosexual women joining the drag world have to remember that a lot of other people in there have struggled.
Yes.
And that is a space that has traditionally been their space. Yeah. You are more than welcome to come into it, but Absolutely. Don't expect any sort of special treatment
no.
when you join it. You're going to have to go through the same
start
sort of...
Start at the bottom.
Yeah, you're going to start at the bottom like everybody else. And I have, not all of them, a lot of them have been amazing, but I have had a couple of experiences where people expected to sort of somehow be treated differently to all of the other people on the scene. And I'm sorry, that's not how it works, as far as I'm concerned. But the performance-wise, I don't think there's anything that's mm-hmm. less interesting by a cisgendered heterosexual woman.
Yeah. When I talk about it with my friends, I do see the potential of something so exciting mm-hmm. in terms of a subculture there.
Yeah.
When you actually think of the possibilities of what drag says about gender and especially femininity, crossing over with actual cisgender women and their own expressions of femininity and oppression that they've endured from their gender. Like, there's
so much space for it. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Space
And I'm more than happy to call that drag. Totally. That definitely fits into what gay men are doing in the drag world. I just want you to remember when you come into that space who you're sharing
it
with.
That's, I really love how big drag has become, and it's really exciting, and I love all the different art. I love that it's being really inclusive and including bio queens. I'm just confused about it. Like, how they I love it. I'm for it.
I think
I'm just confused about how to like describe it or like define it. And I know we're in the age of like not defining things, but like if drag was in a dictionary, how would you define it? Because my understanding was that the old way anyway was like man imitating woman. So is it now, is it just like a makeup thing? Or is it like, if you're a drag queen, do you just have to be good at makeup and perform? Like, does that define what a drag queen is?
I think it's the legendary Striker Maya, which is a very old drag queen from Sydney, described it as dress-ups.
Dress-ups. So it's just like, is it necessarily taking on a character or just...
Not necessarily.
Just dressing up and being like really extra.
I think
really
genuinely
extra
no rules. Yeah. It's just expression through dress-ups.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great.
Drag queens don't identify as women. They aren't trying to be women. Yes. If they're men dressing up as women, it's expression through dress-ups.
Yeah. Yes. They're performers, they're
And it's
artists,
not necessarily like because drag would be like pushing femininity. Now it's more loose.
I think drag is a culture now.
Yeah. I don't have much experience with drag kings.
Also, but
they're
good.
I've never seen a drag king.
I remember
a few years ago.
Well, first of all, I want to say Sexy Galexi, look her up. Yes, especially any cisgendered women that are thinking about going into drag and don't really have people to look at.
Yeah.
So, Sexy's been doing it for years. Mm-hmm. She predates Drag Race and all that sort of stuff. I had the pleasure of hosting the DT's Bake Off with her a few years ago. Not only is she incredible with the looks, she is also sharp, funny, fierce, can rock a number. Yes. She can do an Elvis thing. She can do like a dark gothy thing. She can do like a hyper femme thing. She can do anything. So look her up. There doesn't have to be rules. There doesn't have, you don't need to think of like rules of drag.
I haven't seen many drag kings, so forgive me. But like in my mind, drag queens would be more exciting because of the outfits and everything. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, oh, guys' clothes are a bit more like rigid and boring. Mm-hmm. Like, how would you make that really exciting? And like, do they have lace front beards? Like, how does it work?
Well, like, so
you can
really.
One of my favorite drag king performers, Justin Talica, amazing. It's so
I'm excited to finish like this tonight and then go look up some drag
like
kings.
The facial hair I was really confused about. So like after the show I went up to them and I was just like, can I just have a look? And it's just like a mixture of wig hair and like colouring in. Okay. And I love them. I think they're all amazing. Exciting. They're in a dapper suit. Like, I'm all about it. Like, get into it.
And then there's everything in between. It doesn't have to be a man.
I love that it's such a fluid art.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a man dressing up as a woman or a woman dressing up. There's also like just the drag art. Geneva Gendemess from... Yeah. Perth, who has like those little felt balls stuck all over all their face. There's also Dandrogyny,
Simple,
drag queen. Simple. Like there's,
I feel like I don't care at this point. And like, if you have a great name, I'm for you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. That's great. But there's also like the drag art that doesn't really take a gender. It's just sort of it's art on the body. And again, just goes to dress up, expression through dress up.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I was on the tram this morning on my way to work, where a lot of my people viewing happens, and I saw a cute couple, gay couple, holding hands, playing Pokemon Go.
Oh.
I was like, aw, bless.
So cute they can be virgins and in a relationship.
I was like, doing the privacy of your own home is one thing, but... I was like, wow, people still play Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
And have you ever noticed Pokemon is so beloved by gay people? Like, every fucking gay person I know is like really into Pokemon. Yeah. Like, I know Luke and I constantly talk about it, and we swap Pokemon Battle. We're like,
yeah,
but Pokemon's been around ever since we were little, and I feel like gay people
you were little.
Yeah, you and I were little.
I remember Pokemon starting. Yeah,
Aka awkward. But yeah, and I just thought how funny it is. Like, is it the anime from like when we were growing up as kids? Because there were so many gay themes in that.
Absolutely.
Like, do you remember Team Rocket? Like Jesse
and James.
Good
my
God,
favorite.
Jesse and James. James is the gayest cartoon character I've ever seen in my whole life, and they had so many like undertones and innuendos. Oh, during the show, I think there was like one episode when he like, because he would always do drag in the show, and he would always be the woman, and she would always be the guy.
Absolutely.
And I just found that so hilarious. And he was wearing like a really like form fitting outfit, and like one of the things
he had a breastplate.
That wasn't in the English episode. Like, that never made it to like
the Western
one, the Western
culture.
It was, and it was like big pornographic boobs on him as well. Like, it's not for children. And then someone was like, "Where the hell did he get that outfit?" And he's like, "He cut it right out of his closet."
Yeah,
and like like a lot of like little sneaky innuendos. And I just thought, like, identification stuff, like there's a lot of Pokemon stuff out there that have no gender, and like in the games and stuff,
they're
like,
very camp Pokemon.
Very camp, and like people love to dress up, and
yeah,
a lot of gay people, like, I don't know, maybe use also like Pokemon, like video games, role playing as like escapism, like,
sure.
And it's still going strong. I saw yesterday, I think Ariana Grande literally just got Eevee tattooed on
her. My god.
I was like, Ariana Grande, I knew you'd appreciate that.
And one of her tweets the other day was just like, I spent the last 18 hours playing, what is it, it's Eevee,
Pokemon Let's Go Eevee.
I was like, love it, girl. Get
into it. Yeah, no, girl. Love it. Yeah.
Honestly, the only thing I talk about more than myself is
JB.
Yeah, it's JB and then Pokemon.
And then Poofdoof, because you're there all the time.
loves the Pokemon. I think it is a huge part of gay culture. And I think there are a lot of reasons why Pokemon in particular has the gay community has latched onto it. I remember I used to get grinder messages all the time. If you chuck Pokemon in your little bio line or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Get all the fish.
Real
Magikarp.
All the Gyarados are coming for you.
It came at a time where a lot of younger gay men, especially in our sort of cross demographic, let's say, of our ages, were starting to feel excluded. Mm. And suddenly this huge thing arrived on the scene that everyone loved.
Mm. Yes.
And it was a video game as well as being a cartoon that had a way for us to interact with the kids that we wouldn't usually feel comfortable interacting with. I could talk to the straight kids about trading
because everyone loved it.
They needed something from me to get their Pokemon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
And Nintendo as a company, the fifth topic I talk about the most, is a very traditional Japanese company.
Yes.
So in terms of inclusiveness and forward thinkingness, they're very conservative and Japanese in their mindset. and in the way they're designed. But Pokemon games were one of the first ones that let you choose your skin tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been making games since where they still don't let you do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
But Pokemon's let you do that for at least the last 4 generations of games.
I wish I could choose my skin tone. I go red so quickly.
You've got a lot of nice. Nice. And yeah, they don't gender you anymore in the games.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I think in the newest game I saw, because at the beginning of most of the games, it'll be like, are you a boy or are you a girl? Yeah. And now it just says, what do you look like? It doesn't say the words girl or boy. It just says, what do you look like? And you can pick which like image you identify with and then customize it.
Do they have the option of like a trash fire?
This game's not.
And I think the design of some of these Pokemon are just intrinsically gay.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
You know, totally. We've got Jigglypuff.
We've got Jinx.
All the puns.
And some of them actually sound like daddies when you watch that. You know,
Machoke me.
I just mean that Bulbasaur is the only like Pokemon reference I'm going to be able to make for this entire segment. That's all I know.
You're doing great, sweetie. Yeah.
The tables have turned. Kyle and Tom. And something I really loved about it is because everyone does play it, not just gay men.
Yeah.
The design of it is I can actually train up this tiny pink fairy that kind of looks like a cupcake to beat the fucking shit out of a 10-foot dragon.
That.
Yeah. You know, and my character's...
Ain't that a metaphor for life?
My character's always female presenting. Yeah. I always pick the female presenting girl. She has a team of exclusively pastel blue and pink Pokemon.
Okay.
I color coordinate my team.
Yeah.
And I train them up to destroy.
Like, we're cute. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're cute and we will kick your fucking asses.
Yeah.
And I think that sums up a lot of the gay community.
Yeah,
totally.
For sure.
I think that's funny that you say that you always pick and identify as a girl in a video game, because there are so many video games where I think it's a great outlet for gay guys because you can choose your avatar and you can hide behind this thing and explore your sexuality. And there's so many games out there that allow that. Like, I guess for a lot of people, like growing up with Sims, like I'm not sure if you ever played that.
Yeah.
You could sit, like, who didn't secretly make like a gay love couple?
Oh, yeah,
and like live in your house time. And live out your fantasy that you thought you'd never actually live. Yeah. And you're like, wow, this is hard.
And
and like do some woohoo. Woohoo in the hot tub. Yeah. Oh, burn that. Okay, yeah. Okay.
I always burn.
Is there a Sims porno? They need to make a Sims porno.
There were cheats and you could like make them naked. I remember people.
Because like every time they got naked, it was like pixelized. Yeah.
And
like,
they were called the sex woohoo, and then you could woohoo in the hot tub or woohoo on the couch.
My experience with Pokemon is, I don't know if it came out when I was in about grade 6, but it got popular at least in Australia around about grade 6. I was totally into it and I had the cards.
Oh, yeah.
My parents didn't have a lot of money, but I wasn't very popular. I think mum might have saved up to get me a deck of those. Do you remember the gold card?
Like the holographic cards.
They were the really good ones. I think mum saved up to get them for me so that I would be cool at school with them. And then in about year 10, I stopped playing with Pokemon because I became an adult. And that's when I think you should stop playing.
You should never stop. You shut your whore mouth.
My only other experience is I walk to work every day through the Carlton Gardens.
Yeah.
And sometimes
I go to.
Well, when we were at the park the other day for the picnic,
we went on a picnic without you boys, by the way.
Well, y'all didn't come and it was fun. But yeah, I walked through the gardens and there was hundreds and hundreds of people playing Pokemon.
It's still going because I remember when it was such a big thing. I think I went to the zoo once when I first moved to Melbourne and it was like when Pokemon Go was booming.
Oh,
and nobody was there looking up. Everyone was just walking in circles looking
at
phones.
That you're walking around like actual lions and zebras.
Yeah, and they're like, oh my God, there's a Dratini nearby.
Well, that's the thing. Like, so sometimes I walk into work on weekends and I walk through the Carlton Gardens and I see all these gay men. Mm-hmm. Well, the first time when they first released Pokemon, I saw these gay men standing around and I was like, brilliant, a beat. I've still got 15 minutes before work. I'm going to fuck everyone behind the bushes, but they're all just trying to catch Pokemon instead of my STDs.
I name all my Pokemon. And
do
you?
What do you name them?
Well, I had a Dratini and I did call it Mikey.
I used to name mine punny things. Like Golbat was Whippy Golbat.
Oh, that's I named them after the people they remind me of.
Oh,
so I had a Charmander named Kyle.
Cool, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm not
mad.
Did
you name? You didn't name one after me, did you?
Oh, Chansey.
No.
Jigglypuff?
No.
Did you guys ever, when Tamagotchis was a big thing, did you ever get the Pokemon ones?
I wish.
I had a Pikachu Tamagotchi.
You like the
and that was my favorite thing ever. Yeah. It was the only Pokemon thing that my parents would get me because it was the cheapest thing to get. And I went to school with it one day and I was like, yes, look at my Tamagotchi. And I put it in in my bag, and I never saw it.
No!
I was like, no, it's gone!
Kids are assholes. Like,
yeah, the worst thing ever.
Maybe I just had a realization that the reason why it's so important to some of us is that in these primary school environments, it was an opportunity for little gay boys to gain status.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And have that sought after.
Like, not the sports guys for once. Yeah.
And something that we're not having to pretend to be interested. You know, when you get status by, I'll pretend to be into this.
Totally. Yeah.
And be the best at it. Like me and sniffing glue.
Yeah.
Pokemon was something that we could legitimately be interested in and love and still get social status in an environment that never afforded it to us in the first place. All right. Well, we are coming up to for what most people just view as a day off work. Yeah. For our international listeners, that is Australia Day, which is January 26th. Falls on a weekend, we get the Monday off.
Hey.
Obviously, if you're listening overseas, Australia Day sounds great.
What's the equivalent? Independence? No.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving
would be the equivalent.
New Zealand has one, but they celebrate it very well. Waitangi Day, which is the day that they celebrate the treaty being signed with Maori people, and that's quite an inclusive day.
Yeah, yeah.
They do it incredibly well. Unfortunately, as Luke's about to tell us, Australia Day is not quite as tasteful.
No.
Well, in the last few years, there's been a growing movement, what we call hashtag change the date.
Yeah.
And it's something that I can't speak personally on, not being indigenous to this country. And the issue that people have is, although we are celebrating Australia Day as a day to celebrate what we have in this country, the ideals that we hold as Australians, we've actually picked a day of basically massacre and colonization.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Referred to a lot as Invasion Day.
Yes. Invasion Day, which is met with a lot of pushback, saying, no, we can't just change the date of a public holiday. And this conversation has been going backwards and forwards for a number of years now. And the polls that I've viewed are really evenly split.
They are, aren't they?
They are. But I think in the real world, knowing people that take sides on this, you can split them yourself and say there are educated people and there are lesser educated people that I don't think realise that this day has only been celebrated. So it's currently celebrated on the day that Captain Cook landed in Australia.
So it's not.
Oh.
Like, I just wanted to know more about it. And like, so what the 26th represents is when the Union Jack was raised and marked by British sovereignty as what the land of Australia would become. But they didn't land there on the 26th when it all started. They landed a week before and they had moved up the coast to a better spot because
when
it
they
just
planted the
yeah
flag.
When they planted the flag.
Sure. But it's celebrating the invasion of Australia by white settlers.
Yeah.
But that's only a very recent thing, which I think a lot of people, a lot of younger people at least, that oppose changing the date don't understand.
Yeah.
So when I say uneducated, I'm not having a go at them. I'm saying they're not educated on the topic of what the history of Australia Day is. Celebrating it on a day that is hurtful to people. Yeah. Australia's supposed to be about a fair go and welcoming everyone.
That's
and we're
it.
I just don't understand.
So
it upsets so many people.
Yeah.
And so many people have an issue with it. And it's not hurting the people who are for it. Why not just move it and make everybody happy instead of just some people happy? Like,
because
it's
the
not
people that are hurt are minorities.
Yeah.
And that's where change doesn't just happen.
Yeah.
But
we're saying
concept.
These polls are 50-50. 50% of Australia is not indigenous. There is 50% of Australia makes up a lot of people that aren't just indigenous.
I would say
people.
It would all be like younger people.
Yes.
A lot of people
sort of opened their mind up and read about this sort of stuff.
I only found out today that Australia Day wasn't celebrated till like the 90s or something.
Yes. No, it was, but it wasn't celebrated on this day.
It's been celebrated
since Federation. Yeah. It was Federation, I think.
3 years.
It was in November. It was in July. Yeah. There was states celebrated on different days at certain points, but it was the 90s that it moved.
So it was 1994. It was announced as a public holiday all around Australia on the 26th of January. Yeah. So when it first began, it was just New South Wales that was celebrating it as an event, and they weren't calling it Australia Day. It was Foundation Day, there was another saying for it. That was up until 1935, and then progressively through the years, each state have sort of come into it.
Okay.
And then it was announced in 1994. Everyone in Australia would have a public holiday
on the 26th.
On the 26th.
So then initially, it wasn't that bigger deal than was on the 26th. Yeah. Obviously, there was probably Indigenous communities who were offended by it being on the 26th, but it wasn't a national conversation because it's a good time of year to have a public holiday for barbecues and that sort of stuff. The Triple J Hottest 100 started happening, which is a big countdown on the our indie radio station of like the top 100 indie hits from the last year, which be, sort of became a big tradition. They last year moved. They moved it. They decided, no, we've had enough. We agree. We're moving. Well, they decided to trial last year doing it on the third Saturday of January, which they committed to keeping after last year. Unfortunately, this year that falls on Australia Day.
God damn it.
Although not on the Australia Day public holiday. There'll still be a public holiday, I think, on the following Monday. It's gotten very political with local government. So there's also a lot of, traditionally all local councils have hosted citizenship ceremonies where people that have received their Australian citizenship are welcomed in on Australia Day. A lot of councils over the last few years have decided to move that day. The Prime Minister has threatened to cut funding for these days if they don't do it on Australia Day, well, which is fucked.
There is a town in northern Victoria that moved their Australia Day celebrations to another day and they had all
like a whole
their,
town took part.
The whole town.
That's great.
And they had their ceremonial rights stripped from them. So they're not allowed to do,
to
the,
do
ceremonies
the ceremonies anymore.
Yeah.
Wow. You can't wear board shorts either. That was also part of it.
There
was
you're like to wear board shorts while you're doing the citizenship ceremony.
Yeah, there was like a dress code.
I thought that was our, I thought that was the national cross Australian board dress code.
But it's weird. Like, I love this country. I love Australia. And the one thing that I'm probably most grateful to my parents for is that growing up, they took me back to the Philippines regularly. So I could see growing up that there's a stark difference between what I have here and what I would have had we you know, lived and I was raised in the Philippines. There was no comparison. I was tipping water over my head to bathe in one place and fighting off random feral dogs and then coming home to my Pokemon
air conditioned
whatever. I had so much appreciation for the ease that I had and that I was able to acquire these things and the opportunities that I had, and I could get a job and I could have an education and I didn't have to fight for any of that. I love all of that stuff. Do I want to celebrate all of that at the same time
on a day of mourning?
It's just like poor taste. Absolutely not. Like,
it's disgusting.
It's really bad.
So I don't understand the pushback.
It's a racist thing.
Is it a racist?
It has to be a racist thing.
100% without a
doubt. It is people hiding behind, which we see so often these in the Trump era, hiding behind tradition and that sort of shit. And I mean, I love tradition, but if it hurts someone, then no, fuck it. It's not relevant anymore. It's racist hiding behind flawed arguments.
Because you know what? If it wasn't a race thing, they would do the exact same thing as what New Zealand do. They have 10 seats in government specifically for Maori people. In our government, there's what? Maybe one or two Indigenous people in government at the moment.
In federal government.
In federal government. And it's just like, if you really respected these people, the way that I would do it is have the 26th as a mourning day and do it as we do Remembrance Day, where we remember our Indigenous people and the horrible things that happen, and just move Australia Day to another date. Like, and then we can celebrate all of us coming together.
If our government gave a fuck about Indigenous people, they wouldn't be tricking us with arguments over fucking NBN and who should be the Prime Minister for this 5 minutes and, oh, we're going to give you a slight discount on your electricity bills next year. We would be talking about the fact there is Indigenous communities in the Northern Territory who are living in third world conditions, and we don't even see it in a printed newspaper. You have to go to a left wing, you have to go to like the Saturday paper or something like that. There are literally Indigenous people living in squalid conditions because they've been fucked over by white people with serious, serious health and mental health problems that they're not even talking about in state or government politics, and it's absolutely fucked. If we want to talk about it on an Indigenous respect on a wider scale, it is disgusting. And the UN have even talked about it, and we don't even acknowledge that it's been talked about at a real level because we're run by Murdoch Press and all that sort of bullshit. To go on a wider sort of level, like the, literally for an Indigenous community living in a Western country, they are treated, I would say, the worst. It's really fucking awful.
Do you also find there's a level of indifference or a disengagement with this? Because I've read a lot of comments and looked at these polls because I was generally interested, and there are people in our demographic, so younger people, basically saying, I don't really care. what day it falls on.
Yeah.
It's not important to me. It's just a day off. And in previous years, it was hottest 100 day them. And that's what they care about. So do you think there's an element of nonchalance of just like, this doesn't...
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's sad, but yeah, I think you're right that they don't care and they should care.
Because that's what's...
Because it should be a day of celebration of fucking silver chair and Indigenous rights sea change and Kath and Kim and every wonderful thing that Australia has ever done. Mm-hmm. And these people don't actually give a fuck. They just want a day off and a barbecue. Wouldn't it be great to be able to put it on a day... Have your day off, have your barbecue, celebrate this sort of shit, show the classic Australian movies on television, show like, you know, some great documentaries about Indigenous communities and that sort of stuff, and actually celebrate the whole of Australia.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Just before we go, can I plug something? I mentioned it once before, but I'm very involved in the LGBTI performance space.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's so many amazing LGBTI performers in comedy, music, that sort of stuff. And so for a couple of years, I was petitioning Midsummer to put together like a gala performance. And after a few years, they were like, you know what? Fuck it. Here's some money. You do it. Can you produce it? And they teamed me up with the Arts Centre. And so last year, we did the first ever Midsummer Extravaganza, which was a lineup show of LGBTI performers. Sold out like hotcakes, even though they weren't sure if it would. And it did. It did very, very well. So this year, they've hired me again with Trevor Ashley to move it into Hamer Hall, which is the Arts Centre's biggest space, 2,200 seats.
Amazing.
To program a show that's twice as big, to twice as many acts. It's a huge lineup. It's very diverse. It's probably the biggest thing I've ever done, and I'm incredibly proud of it. So I just want to plug it a little bit here. It's actually selling like hotcakes, so I don't really need the plug, but I just feel like the Gays Are Revolting podcast listeners will be
Hashtag humble.
No, they would be keen in a show like this. So we've got the amazing Stephen Oliver. You know, what's this, Stensler?
He's
the Indigenous comedian. Joel Creasy, who's been on the podcast. Reese Nicholson, Zoe Coombs-Ma, Geraldine Hickey, Becky Cole, Carlotta.
Koala mattresses
will be there. It's a huge lineup, and you guys will be there. I got free tickets for you because you're tired asses. But everyone else has to buy a ticket. Jump on theartcentre.com.au. It's on January 29th.
And don't forget to get tickets to our live show coming up on the 3rd of Feb, Midsummer, and submit your reads for us. Any Q&A.
What do you really think of
questions you got for us that you want to hear us answer?
Shady.
Because if you don't submit something, we're just going to have to read out the two negative reviews we've had on.
No one wants that.
If you want to send us those reads or send us any Q&As as well, DM us. Slide into the DMs. Yeah. Follow us on Instagram at Gays Revolting Pod, or search The Gays Are Revolting on Facebook. You might even find a group full of some homos talking to each other about their feelings.
Well, thanks again for listening, everybody, and we'll see you all next week.
On next week.
Woo!
Bye!
Bye!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.